Hi, I'm Johnny Bogardis, and I'm a Miami Hurricanes fan.
And I'm Nick Clayton, and I'm a Florida Gators fan.
And this is the Sunshine State College Showdown. Hi, welcome into this week's show. We back on the air for the first time in a little while. We took a little break. We had a lot of traveling, and we were on the road going to some games. So we're just going to do a quick recap of the last few weeks that we've missed. For Miami, the last one we covered was Savannah State. We went to the game in Toledo. It was an easy walkthrough, so I'm not going to touch too much on that. FIU, same deal. Cozy, that was his first. I think Malik took two or three series. Basically a walkthrough with Cozy as our quarterback. The following week, we played on Thursday. That was the North Carolina game. That was Cozy's first start. The defense really came up huge. The play calling kind of went stale in the third quarter. So it's kind of hard to get a read on what Cozy was going to be. Last week was Florida State. The first 2.5 quarters, so halfway into the third quarter, we finally woke up. Florida State was up 27-7 and looked like they were just going to stomp us and make it look ugly. But our defense, it all started with Sheldrick Redwine coming with the QB sack, forced fumble. And it just kind of really deflated Florida State. Came back the next drive with the Pickney interception. And then, I think it was Pickney. Then first play was a touchdown to Jeff Thomas. And then, you know, by the end of the game, we were up one. And I was kind of hoping Rick would call the play to push it in, but instead just ran the clock out, which was probably just as good because Florida State just had to sit there and take it. Now, we'll move past that, even though that was a really big game. I won't go too into depth with it. Everybody knows what happened. We got Virginia this upcoming week. It's the 7 o'clock kick, I believe. Last year, Virginia played us really well. They were up in the second half, I believe by 14. We had a few late turnovers that really put that game going our way. This will be another start for Cozy, his first road start. So we'll get a lot to see what he is on the road as a starter. I think Coach Rick needs to let him throw the ball more. Our offensive line just didn't do well against Florida State, which their D-line's probably a little better than Virginia. But we just didn't get a lot of yards per carry. And I think if we just open up and let Cozy throw the ball more, it'll open up a lot more on the running game. So I think that'll just help us on offense a lot if we just let Cozy do it. There's not a lot to say on Virginia. They're not the bottom of the barrel, but they're not a top-notch team either. Their quarterback's more of a run style. Someone compared him to Denard Robinson. They got beat by IU this year, and they got beat by NC State. But you know, their three wins are Richmond, Ohio, and Louisville, and none of those are a quality win. So you really don't know quite what you have with Virginia, but if we can stop the running game, I think we'll be all right. We got the number two defense right now. Most tackle for losses, I think we're up to 72 or 72.5 on the season. So I think we'll be all right this week. I'm not going to stress much about it at all. But if we don't come out ready to play, then it'll probably be a lot closer than Miami fans will want. That's all I'm really going to touch base on Miami. Keys to victory is going to be the turnover chain. Just like when that comes out, there's just a whole new life out there, especially at home with the renovations that the Dolphins made, putting the canopy top on, and just really holds that sound in. I hope we all stay healthy. I checked the weather. It didn't look like it was going to interfere too much from the Hurricane Michael. It looks like it's going to stay south of Virginia and pretty much be done before the games even start on Saturday. So it shouldn't really affect much weather at all. I don't even think we really have any injuries going into the game. Other than the guys out for the season, I think we've done pretty well. So that's all I really got. We'll flip it over to Florida. Nick can cover some of their games that, last time we were around, he was going to the Colorado State game. So if you just want to touch base on some of the games throughout the season, you don't have to go into much detail. They had a couple big games, but I'll let you take it over.
Yeah, Colorado State game obviously was a pretty bad blowout. But I think our first big win that really, really turned everything around was that going to the game in Tennessee, going to Knoxville and putting a thumping on them. That was, I think, a big statement game for us, which led to the huge win at Mississippi State, shutting them out to 6 points, holding Nick Fitzgerald. I mean, that was huge for our defense, and that's when Gator fans started to realize how legit our defense really is. Then the LSU game was the biggest statement game that we could have had for the year. I think it was honestly the biggest game of the whole year for us. We're having a number 5 team in the country come in, and Florida actually, I think, pretty much controlled the game. And even Mullen was talking about how conservative he was being. I think it could have actually been a little different if he would have been aggressive like he was in the first quarter and all that. A couple people that I'm really, really impressed with is Vashawn Joseph. Dude flies with the ball. He's very, very good at reading lanes and meeting the point of attack. Ja'Kai Polite, absolutely insane. I never expected him to be as good as he is. I was buying into the hype early when they were talking about how he was going to be good, but I never expected him to be this good. He's on his way for a 10-sack season, which is absolutely insane. Zuniga, I think he has 3 or 4 sacks. It's incredible. They're all playing real well. And C.J. Henderson hasn't really been talked about a lot, but, I mean, being a corner, it's actually a really good thing. It means they're not targeting towards him. They're not throwing the ball towards him. He just has a lot of pass breakups and everything. So it's really been a lot on our other corners, Trey Dean playing and all that. But, yeah, the win at LSU was absolutely insane. I mean, they've beaten some quality teams, so their 5 ranking was pretty legit if you ask me. Coming in this week, we got Vanderbilt. It's a noon game, early game, which scares me, coming off of a big win. Early game, and Florida just having that swag and that confidence coming off the win scares me, them coming into Vanderbilt and having such an early game. Hopefully they come out with that same fire and they're ready to play, because they can't be looking past Vanderbilt. They're another team. I mean, they're sneaky like Kentucky. They can beat you at any time. You have to come in and play 100%. And I have a feeling a lot of these players are looking forward to Georgia instead of the Vanderbilt game. Injuries. First time I've been able to say this, and I can't tell you how long. We're looking really good with injuries right now. We have Vashawn Joseph shaken up a few times on the field and stuff like that, but I mean, really, it's mostly cramps and stuff like that, because the guy plays 100% the whole game. So yeah, I mean, with injuries and all that, I think it's running pretty well, and you can tell that this strength and conditioning program and everything has just been phenomenal for Florida.
All right. Is that all you got for Florida going so far?
Yeah, that's about all I have right now.
Okay, we'll kind of touch base on the top 25 currently, with Oklahoma getting beat by Texas. A few other changes over the season so far. We got Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Washington, Penn State, Texas, UCF, Oklahoma's at 11, Michigan, LSU, Florida, Wisconsin, Miami, Oregon, Kentucky. That's your top 18. We'll just stop there. Me personally, I'm not big on Notre Dame. I know Nick's not either. But, yeah, just other than my hatred for Notre Dame, I'll back it up with a few facts. They haven't really played anybody. And I understand Michigan is 12, but if you look at that first game, they played like they weren't even in the top 40.
They played awful.
Very awful. So, to me, I'm not impressed by Notre Dame, even though they're a top 5 team right now. And looking at their schedule, they got a huge chance to go undefeated, and it's going to take the place of one of the conferences. And looking at the top 10, Alabama, Georgia, those are two SEC teams. One of those will be eliminated from the playoff, if not being on that bubble for the fourth team.
I think Georgia's going to be a little earlier than we think.
Yeah, this is if they have to play each other. They could obviously, anybody can lose any week. You got Ohio State and Penn State. You know, Ohio State will have to play a couple other teams still before they are at the end of the season. So there's always a chance they lose. But if they go undefeated, that's going to be two teams. You got your SEC and Big Ten. Clemson's, I would guess, favored to win out the rest of the games. It'll either be, my guess, Virginia Tech or Miami in the ACC title, and I'd say Clemson's favored in that game. So that if Clemson wins out, that's going to be three, and then that puts Notre Dame at number four. As long as they don't slip up to Florida State, I don't see how you do that. Florida State's pretty bad. But I just don't – I have no – there's nothing about Notre Dame this year that says I'm a playoff team. So it just – to me, I think they're – the switch to Ian Book was a good coaching choice by Kelly. Their defense is pretty good, but I don't see them a legitimate shot of beating some of these top teams. If they had to play the schedule – of Georgia or Alabama, I don't think.
Well, anybody could win an Alabama schedule.
Well, yeah, with Alabama's, if they had to play Georgia's schedule, I don't think they have a shot to go undefeated. They
do have some quality wins, but they're from the Pac-12. And my thing is the Pac-12, I don't feel is very strong. I don't think there should be a team come out of the Pac-12 to go to the playoffs.
I don't think there will be.
And I think Notre Dame's legit. And I think they're a top four team this year. But there's different levels of talent, if you ask me. If you have Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, I think those guys have so many good players that it's just going to benefit them in the end. And Notre Dame doesn't have that depth. So
with Georgia's next four games, they have at LSU, in Jacksonville against Florida, at Kentucky, and against Auburn. So that's four games against four top 25 teams, and that's probably more than Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Washington, Texas, UCF, maybe Oklahoma. That's the rest of your top 12, 11, that's not Big Ten. You can probably put the rest of those teams together, and they don't play four ranked teams in the top 20, like Georgia has to play in 4 weeks. There's a very good chance Georgia drops one of those. And obviously if they win all those, they're going to be going against Alabama most likely in the SEC championship. But even at that point, they're going to put an undefeated Notre Dame in over a one-loss SEC team.
Yeah, well, what about UCF? I mean, they're still undefeated, and they don't play anybody.
Yeah, well, they won't play anybody.
Not even in their conference.
That's going to be the tough part with UCF because they said – it'd be 2 years in a row they go undefeated, and how do you leave them out 2 years in a row? But in all reality, if you got Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame undefeated, how do you put UCF above them?
You can't because of strength of schedule.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of people will cry about it because, oh, they're undefeated. They've been undefeated the past few years. But until you play somebody and you make it, you have quality wins on your schedule, you're just not going to get it. You're not going to get in.
Yeah, I mean, going into the season, it looked like UCF was going to play a little competition. They're jumping into the ACC, but the ACC's having a down year. So you got Pitt and North Carolina that is just the bottom of the barrel right now. So that helps their strength of scheduling at none at all. If Cincinnati and USF can stay undefeated, you'll finish the year playing
ranked teams. But I still don't see an undefeated UCF jumping Notre Dame to jump into the Final Four. One, they're really high on Notre Dame, but they will make the argument, because if that's the case, if UCF wins out and USF and Cincinnati's only loss is to UCF, that'll be two ranked games against Notre Dame's one. But as far as the overall, you know, not take away the rankings, Florida State's better than SMU. Just look at anybody on that list.
Yeah. Stanford could be anybody. So
even though it's a higher ranked team, as a general core, UCF doesn't stand a chance, and that's just the nature of the beast of being outside of the Power Five teams.
So I
think UCF is, I'm not going to say eliminated from the playoffs, but essentially they are eliminated.
I think if Florida was to go undefeated throughout this with a one loss, I still think they jump UCF all day.
Oh, they'll definitely jump UCF, but then it comes down to they have to beat Bama and Georgia, so that would open the spot
for
them to jump in. Where it would get tricky is if
West Virginia.
Well, if West Virginia wins out, obviously they'll be there. They'll have to play Oklahoma, I think, at the end of the year. That's their last game.
Ooh, that's a loss.
And then bounce back in the Big 12 championship and play Oklahoma again.
Yeah.
As long as those are the two best teams. So
I saw a fun fact today.
That would be tough to beat the same team twice in a row since Oklahoma is a high-caliber team.
I saw a little fact today that four of the six defensive that Florida has played against have been top 35 in the country. So, I mean, that's for all those Franks haters.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to talk about how bad he is. I mean, I think he's been doing real well with the situations he's been put in.
Yeah, he's come a long way. But yeah, I mentioned Oklahoma at the beginning of the year as my team because I didn't see Texas beating them. So, you know, props to Texas, but I'm not sure they have it in them to finish the year.
I just don't see how they're ninth in the country when they got beat by Maryland.
About losing early.
And that Michigan win against Maryland, you know what I'm saying? I think Michigan and maybe Texas should be swapped on that.
October 30th, I believe, is the first college football rankings from the committee. So I'm interested to see where that goes. Because if you look at just 11, I would say Washington's a top 10 team, and I'd give Penn State a top 10 team. That's your one loss top 10 teams. I'm not sure Texas is a top 10 team. They're one loss. And then you got Michigan, LSU, Florida, Wisconsin, and Miami. And then Oregon and Kentucky. You know, I've seen Florida people upset because LSU's in front of them, even though they just beat them. And then you have Kentucky at 18, and they beat Florida. So to me, the top, if you drop Texas to 10, 10 through 18 is essentially close to the same vote for me. You know, Miami got beat by LSU, and LSU's looked really good. And with Miami making the switch, I think they have the potential to win out. Clemson's the big one. You know, Clemson looked bad against Syracuse.
Yeah.
And then the game before that, they almost lost as well. So there's two games. Texas A&M played them close. And it seems like Clemson, obviously, their front four are all potential first-round picks. But their secondary is a weak spot for them, surprisingly.
Alabama as well.
Yeah, and so if Miami can make the switch and Cozy gets in better tune with some of the wide receivers, you know, he's real close with Harley and Brevin Jordan. So their stats have jumped a lot since Cozy came in over Malik. So, you know, if he can get in tune with, you know, last week or against Florida State, he was real good with Jeff Thomas. So if we can continue to build there, I think we, I'm not going to say we beat Clemson, but we might have a legit shot. You know, they will dominate our offensive line unless they really...
They're not as good as they look on paper.
Yeah, if Miami's offensive line can get it together, I think I would feel confident against Clemson, but we still don't know what we have on the offensive line. Jumping up to Wisconsin, they got beat by BYU pretty bad. That's a really bad loss. And, you know, if you look at the total point system on the votes, Miami's at 591 and Wisconsin's at 710. Wisconsin has not looked that good. They have no quality wins. They haven't been that good. But I'm not, you know, I know we're talking rankings. Personally, I'm not that upset about it. I'm just pointing out that everything could be flipped.
There's a lot of stuff close. That could be flipped, but
You know, this is the AP voting, so it's the media. They don't watch the games. You know, against North Carolina, we beat them pretty bad and still dropped in the ratings. And one of the guys was asked about Miami, and he said we had a bye week. So it shows that, you know, the AP polls, while it's close to accurate, you know, a lot of people get upset and waste their time with it. But with Wisconsin having 710 points, ranked 15th, they're just below Florida. And I wouldn't even put Wisconsin in the top. I would put Kentucky, Oregon, and Miami all above them.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon's loss was, you know, it was to Stanford. Or no, they, is that who beat them? Anyways, Oregon has lost. Kentucky just lost. But Wisconsin just hasn't looked good. You know, they came in really hyped. Everyone was talking about this could be their best team Wisconsin's ever had. And then they had a few issues. A couple wide receivers got suspended. I want to say three or four other kids have left the program, so there's something going on there, but I don't know anything, so I'm not going into depth there.
Yeah, their loss was to Stanford.
Stanford, okay. Florida's looked pretty good. I won't say much good about Florida and Florida State normally, but they've looked pretty good. You know, the
defensive line's disruptive, man.
Yeah, the defense is the defense against Kentucky. Some open field tackling.
We had a lot of
missed tackles. Was the hard thing there.
CeCe Jefferson was out. Yeah, David Reese was out.
The offense has come a long way, and the defense, it's always Florida football on defense.
Oh, yeah.
LSU, outside of Miami, I haven't watched a lot of their games. They have some injuries. I know they lost one in the Miami game. I'm still not sold on Joe Burrows. You know, there's a lot of people saying he's
a game manager. That's it. He's a game manager. He manages the game really well. He lets his athletes do the work. He can't come down into the clutch situations and make that pass and all that stuff.
I don't think LSU has it in them. So I think they dropped to Georgia. So they'll drop a little more. Same with Michigan. Their defense is unreal. They got Devin Bush leading the squad there. But the offense, you know, they got, you know, the big corn-fed boys on the O-line. Beginning of the year, Shea Patterson was, you know, Mr. Heisman. He was going to get everything. He hasn't done it. And, you know, they'll have to play some of these other top teams. So I see them getting tossed out. Wisconsin will be tossed out. I hate to say it, but most likely Miami won't beat Clemson, so they'll probably be tossed out of the contention. I don't think Oregon has a shot. Kentucky will have some tough games. I don't think they'll have a legitimate shot. So that takes us to Oklahoma.
I think Florida can beat Georgia.
I'd still say Oklahoma still has a shot. It's a pretty slim shot, but you know they'll play either. I guess Oklahoma has to still get to the. I don't know how the Big 12 is broken down. I think they take the top two teams. I don't think they have a East and West. I'm not sure. I don't know a lot about the Big 12.
I don't know about
that. But I think it's just the best two records. So Oklahoma may not even be in that conference championship. It may be West Virginia and Texas.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. So Oklahoma may not have a legitimate shot at the title anymore. But
they have Texas favored over them.
Yeah.
So.
But I guess Texas and West Virginia will play. So that'll – I guess Oklahoma could potentially jump Texas if West Virginia beats Texas.
Well,
and Oklahoma has to win out.
If West Virginia wins out and beats a Texas that they're high on right now, could put them in the playoffs.
Yeah, but then come conference championship, they'd have to beat Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
So that's – I mean, Oklahoma could still potentially jump the people. So they have a legitimate shot, pretty slim, but if the cards fall right, they got a shot. You know, we already talked to UCF. I just don't see it in them. Even undefeated, I don't see it. It would take Notre Dame losing two, or at least losing one, and that's not likely. And then that would put the Big 12 would have to lose. I guess you could because right now, Georgia or Alabama, if they win out, I know Florida can beat them, but say they won out, I still think they put a one-loss Alabama over UCF. Or one-loss Georgia.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
So, that's what I mean. To me, it's almost impossible for UCF unless there's just a huge collapse.
They'll take a one-loss SEC team all day just because of the competition. And
so then we have Texas. They're 5-1, so they're the number 9 team. They have to play West Virginia, and then so if they win the rest, that would have them beating West Virginia, and then they'd have to beat Oklahoma, which would be another top win. Penn State, I can't say off the top of my head, but they have to play. They got beat by Ohio State. They'll have to play, I believe, Michigan.
Yeah, they should.
And I don't know if they play Wisconsin during the season or if that would take the Big Ten title. But just as far as the top-ranked teams. So Penn State's still got a shot at one loss, but that puts them – that would put Ohio State at a two-loss team. And I'm not sure I see that. So Penn State likely doesn't make it. Even though they're a top eight team, I don't see a realistic shot unless Ohio State falls apart hard.
Yeah, and
– because Penn State and Ohio State are on the same
and the Big Ten
side of the Big Ten.
It's not very strong this year.
No. But you got Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, I think, are all on the same side.
Yeah.
So they'll play against Wisconsin, which should be a victory, but you never know how it falls. But that's what I mean. You'd have to have Ohio State
lose. Dude, that can knock out the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah. Ohio State would have to lose two in the next, what we got, 5 weeks, 6 weeks left?
Yeah, midway, I think.
Because they haven't had a bye week, and they haven't played a whole lot of people. But, you know, TCU was ranked at the time. And they did look good against Penn State. So that's what I mean. They already have the resume that Ohio State needs because they don't need much. But, yeah, they got Michigan and Michigan State left as far as competition. Minnesota, they should – I want to say they're almost a 30-point favorite. So that shouldn't even be close. Purdue, they should handle Purdue. Purdue's come a long way, but they're not there. Michigan State will probably get beat by two touchdowns at least, but they, you know, they're at least physical enough. Maryland won't put up much.
And they got Michigan at home, don't they?
Yeah.
So that's a game changer.
That's
right there.
What I mean. I don't see a two loss there, a second loss. Even if say they dropped to Michigan, that still puts Ohio State in the Big Ten title.
I would put Michigan in there.
Oh yeah, if Michigan wins the rest of this.
Yeah.
Let's see who Michigan has to play real quick. But I know everything we're talking about can change, so it's...
Yeah, we're just kind of throwing out our own ideas here.
Yeah, but Michigan still has Penn State, Ohio State...
Oh, man, that could jack it all up.
IU, Michigan State, Wisconsin. So if Michigan can beat Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin's, you know, not as good as the ranking shows, that'll be another ranked team. Michigan State will be a tough game. That's, you know, the biggest rivalry Michigan State has. Michigan has Ohio State. Then they have Penn State. So that's 3 weeks in a row. You got tough games. I don't think Michigan pulls all those out. So
yeah, no.
And even if they do, they got Ohio State. So a lot of tough games for Michigan. So that
Penn State is really actually hoping they beat Michigan and rooting for them to beat.
Yeah. So we could have another Big Ten cluster. So that we left off with Penn State. Washington is next. They're a one-loss team already. Auburn beat them. That was a really good game. That was opening game. So, I mean, it's not like they have a bad resume.
Well, it's starting to look bad because of Auburn's losses.
The Pac-12, yeah, Auburn's dropped a few, so that looks bad. They'll probably beat Oregon this week. Colorado's ranked 19th, so if Colorado can win this week, that'll go big, you know, in 2 weeks when they play. But outside of that, you know, Stanford has a down year. Cal's bad. UCLA played Washington tough but hasn't had a great year. I don't think they have a victory yet.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Kelly hasn't done a whole lot there.
Nope, Chip Kelly has looked awful.
I think if Washington wants to make a push, they're really going to have to start this push. Because, I mean, even looking at the Pac-12, does Pac-12 have a championship game? I think they just, yeah, there is one. They'll have to play USC or, well, probably Colorado. I guess if Colorado starts dropping some, but you're looking at Colorado, USC, or Arizona. I don't see Washington dropping to them.
No.
So, I mean, that puts a one-loss Washington team going into the final. And I'd say, I think that's the highest-ranked one-loss team. So that would eliminate a second Big Ten team and probably a second SEC team, just because that would put Washington.
It just depends.
Top three or four.
That loss comes from an SEC team.
Yeah. So after Washington's West Virginia, obviously if they win out, they're going to be in, as long as someone two teams drop. I don't see Washington as a one loss jumping West Virginia.
No.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is not that much bigger than the Big 12,
no.
if at all. And so that would put Washington's big win at Colorado. So, I mean, if they beat Texas and Oklahoma, and then Texas or Oklahoma again, I don't see a way you jump West Virginia. Any team.
That's why I love college football, man.
Yeah.
It gets crazy.
So, I don't see Washington having a real shot unless it collapses. Notre Dame doesn't have another tough game, so unless they cost themselves a game that's 12-0.
I mean, who could pop Pitt, maybe?
Pitt's.
About it.
Yeah, so Pitt's at the bottom. Florida State's not that good.
That's what I'm saying. But they,
Navy. I want to say they got Navy. USC, that rivalry might bring it, but.
Is it at USC?
I'm not sure. But as I mean, it's everyone that they played this year is having a down year. So that strength of schedule for what usually is good. I mean, if you said I was going to play Michigan, Florida State, not that Pitt's a top team, but you know they're at
decent.
Least 50.
They always compete. They always compete.
Navy always plays them tough, and then you got USC, Stanford, but I mean none of those guys are ranked anymore. So that's what I mean. They dropped the strength of schedule dropped, and it wasn't Notre Dame's fault, but still a weak strength of schedule. So Notre Dame wins out. They're in. Clemson. They've looked bad at times, but they also look good. I think the only potential loss is Miami. And I, as a Miami fan, I don't really see that. So, I mean, you got...
They've shown weaknesses, man.
Yeah, they got weaknesses, but they've always overcome them. Ohio State, like I said, I think they're in. They don't have, outside of Michigan, there's not much left on their schedule. And they would have to be a two-loss team, basically. To be jumped by anyone in the Big Ten. So, I mean, I guess if they lost and West Virginia went undefeated, I guess you could have SEC, ACC, West Virginia at the Big 12, and Notre Dame. But you talk about some pissed off people, the Big Ten not getting it.
Yeah.
I mean, each year the Big Ten has had some type of complaint. So you talk about another year, I'd have to say the Power Five is going to come together and cause some issues.
Yeah,
that's money. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, if Ohio State loses, and that might be the only way West Virginia can make it, because even if you take one of Bama or Georgia out, say they win out, one of them has to lose. I don't know how you put a one-loss Georgia, Alabama's looked really good, beating teams by 50, but they haven't played much. But I still don't see how you put a one-loss Alabama over undefeated West Virginia.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be shocked, because there is a huge Alabama bias.
Well,
but
they've kind of earned that.
I mean, you talk about a shit show. It's not like you're choosing them over UCF. You got a Power Five team that beat at least three ranked teams.
I still think they go with West Virginia, and
that's what I'm saying. You'd have to.
Yeah.
So that would give you West Virginia, Notre Dame, Clemson. So that's what I mean. Even at that, it looks like the Big 12 is out, because you would have 1 and 2 is Georgia and Alabama. Assuming they win out, they play in the SEC championship, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be one team. You have Ohio State that shouldn't lose. Anything can happen, so you know this is all hypothetical. And then you got Clemson and Notre Dame. You would have an undefeated West Virginia not even making the playoff. Not that I'm not saying West Virginia is better than any of those.
Yeah, but it's
you
just
could still have an undefeated Power 5 team.
Dude, the playoff system is going to have to be fixed.
And
they're going
to
have to
move
it up.
Like I was telling you earlier in the week, either Notre Dame in the next 3 years or so, because I want to say it's spring of 2020 that the Power 5 will get together and discuss the playoff situation. They had some contract where it was so many years out. But if you take where the Big Ten is upset again in any way for this year, and the Big 12 is left out completely with an undefeated team, or even a one-loss team. If they're not going to get a fair shot over a one-loss Big Ten or SEC team. You're going to have the Power 5 coming together that's going to say, Notre Dame is not a Power 5 team. They're an independent team. Either they join a conference or they don't make the playoffs. They drop down equivalent to UCF.
See that, it
does. And that's where it gets tough because Notre Dame makes a ton of money off of NBC, I think. So that was their big thing of staying independent.
Those conference championship games, they have a lot of sway in the college football playoffs. And them getting to miss that week going undefeated.
Not only
do
you get the rest,
but
you get a guarantee. It's basically, they look at it as a guaranteed win.
If they were to go to a conference, they'd go to ACC, obviously.
The rest of their sports are in the ACC.
Yeah,
so
that's what their schedule favors as well.
So
they would have to play Clemson.
Yeah.
Well before even getting to the college football playoffs.
If they join, they'd probably put them in my guess would be the Coastal or just redesign the whole ACC. Because right now the strength is the Atlantic side of it.
Yeah.
And Coastal, Virginia Tech's down this year. But you got NC State, Florida State, Clemson on one side. And if Notre Dame joined the Coastal, it'd be Miami, Virginia Tech, and Notre Dame as the power three on that side. But if you threw them over there with Clemson and FSU, that Atlantic would be nuts. So that's why I think they would go Coastal.
It would look better for ACC well.
Yeah.
I mean,
but instead of going through Army and Navy that Notre Dame plays each year, they'd drop Stanford. They would probably keep USC as their out of conference each year they play because you guys have Florida State.
Yeah.
So you normally always keep one out of conference. Big game that's a rivalry, so I see them keeping USC over Stanford, but I could be wrong, I could go either way. But they would have to play some top teams. Every other year they would either play Clemson or Florida State, and then every year they would play Miami, Virginia Tech. Virginia's not a powerhouse, but I think it's going to come down to where they have to make a decision. It's either they have to join a conference or we go to eight teams, and I'm not sure they want to go to eight teams.
I think they should just make him join the dang conference, man.
Yeah.
Do you need that? Plus, even if they did have one loss, and this is going, if we have Notre Dame listeners, even if you have one loss, that extra game would be beneficial.
Yeah.
Rather than hurtful like it would be this year. So,
yeah. To me,
it balances out in the end.
To me, if West Virginia goes undefeated and you have one loss SEC, so I'm going to say a one loss SEC team does not make it this year. If Ohio State, Clemson went out. But to me, West Virginia should jump Notre Dame because of a conference championship game. And I don't know the true strength of schedule between West Virginia and Notre Dame, but if Texas is 9, if you beat Texas, Oklahoma, and then either Texas or Oklahoma again, to me that's stronger than Michigan, Stanford and USC would probably be Notre Dame's three toughest games as far as records. To me, West Virginia has just as tough.
Yeah,
they'll have Iowa State this week, which has a tough defense. So, they'll have some less talented teams, but they, as far as big games, West Virginia has more this year.
I just don't think West Virginia can...
I don't even
think they're a top four team in the SEC, if you ask me.
No, I don't think so either. The shitty part of conferences.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you threw them in the SEC,
if you took
just
Clemson and put them, just look at Georgia's next four games. I don't think there's maybe one or two teams that could live that out and not deal with injuries or just losing a game.
It's going to be a dogfight for them.
I mean, you got Auburn, LSU, Florida. Those three right there, it's...
And then win out, you have to play Alabama.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I don't think there's any team... And I don't think Georgia's going to win all those.
No,
I don't think Georgia is quite as good as it's been shown.
I think they go down to Florida. And then I think Florida wins out and then gets beat by Alabama.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Even going all the way down to the lower teens, I don't think Oregon has a shot because of the Pac-12. It doesn't have the reputation. Even with the ACC being down, if Miami wins out, they may have a shot. They could beat Clemson and still not make the title or the playoffs.
That's the same.
That could just kick the ACC out of it. SEC, I'd say you're guaranteed a team. You are guaranteed one of the four.
Yeah.
But as I'm saying, the ACC may not make it. The Pac-12 may not make it. And the Big 12 may not make it. So that's three of the five conferences that may not make it. And if that happens, I know 2020 is the year they have that meeting, but I would almost guarantee there would be a 2019 meeting. Not that they could do much about it.
Oh, they'll be in the talks early about it.
But it'll be...
I think they're already talking about it. They're trying to figure out ways to do it.
But yeah, I just see total chaos that could happen. And it takes the perfect storm to make that happen. I mean, you look at games this week. I don't think really anybody's affected by the weather because most of the rain will be gone. And obviously, if it's flooded, they're not going to play. But, I mean, we could go when Alabama plays somebody later in the year. Auburn. I don't know if those are inside or out. I don't know where they're playing at. If that's outside and it's pouring rain, you never know what you're getting.
I will go ahead and say this. If Auburn keeps losing, I don't think they should have Alabama in the playoffs with the strength of their schedule, if that's what we're going to go off of.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to throw UCF out last year.
Yeah, I think Auburn was the only team that was ranked.
That they played last year.
Yeah.
They played Mississippi State last year.
I'm talking this year.
Oh, yeah. No, this year would be it.
Texas A&M, I guess, is ranked now, but they weren't when they played. And LSU's ranked now. So going into the year, it was only Auburn, and they'll have a couple of them. But like when they beat Texas A&M, Texas A&M wasn't ranked. I don't think LSU's good, and I would say they're still a top 15 team. But I think overall, the football season, as far as the big-name teams, I think everybody's having a down year. He was looking at, you know, Louisville, you would think, hey, that's a good opening game. You know, Bama's going to win, but that should be a good game.
Louisville just, they trash. Looked awful. They have looked awful.
So, that's what I mean. You know, they beat Mississippi by eight touchdowns. So, I mean, nobody's playing Bama close, but it's a weird year. You know, anything can still happen. There's plenty of time left. You know, when we get closer to probably Thanksgiving, maybe the week before, you can have a little bit better discussion. The week before would leave you two regular season games left. You have the 17th and the 24th, and then that following week would be the conference championships. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of wasted talk for most people that don't care what we have to say, but that's kind of our thought on how it's going to go or how it's looking, but... You know, I'd say if Bama loses a game, they're automatically eliminated. Unless LSU, I guess, would have to win out to look like they're a good team. Mississippi State, Auburn, they've all got losses.
Yep.
So if they drop another, Alabama's strength of schedule is gone. So I don't know if Bama loses, though. They're deep, they're good.
They're just on a different level every year. Their backups are five stars.
Yeah.
You can't beat a team that has that much depth. You can play with them through that first half until they start doing those rotations, man. Once they get those rotations down and they have guys that are just as good as their starters, you just can't compete with a team like that. And I think Ohio State's the only other team that has that much depth.
Yeah, I don't think Clemson has a shot at him this year.
No, I don't think Clemson has.
I think Tua has
on a good paper enough. They have the depth.
Oh yeah, on paper they're good.
But they just
they haven't put it together yet.
I don't think that their team has very good chemistry with the whole quarterback controversy that they had. I think the chemistry is just completely.
Yeah, I mean, you look at anybody outside of Ohio State. I don't think Georgia has the talent.
I think that they're having a down year. They had, 22 guys go to left? Or
yeah, Georgia lost a lot, and I'm kind of interested to see where Georgia goes. Not on the field, but off the field. They had, 3 decommitments in 4 days? They just picked up a defensive back today as top 100 player. Not very often you go from the number one class to drop, the number one wide receiver, number 3 overall, Jaden Hazelwood. He was at Miami this last weekend, and there's talk between Auburn. I know some Florida guys were on him on Twitter. But a lot of his Instagram and stuff, he's always wearing Miami stuff, so I'm hoping that pulls through, but you never know until a commitment is made. I don't see how, he's from Georgia. That's their backyard. I don't see how you lose him.
There's got to be something going on inside.
Yeah, you had 3
internal. Something's happening.
Something's happening, but I heard the rumor was the offensive coordinator's not that great. Defensive coordinator has been talked about getting a head coaching spot, and that would bring a lot of Kirby Smart's weaknesses out by losing the strength of the defensive coordinator. I don't know a whole lot about Georgia football, but if that's true and that's what people see, I'm all for it.
You already know me being in the SEC East.
I'd like to see a Georgia collapse, especially all the shit they've talked about Rick.
I would much rather them stay pretty good. I think more or less it would be us to rise above them.
They'll still be good, but I'd like to see some shit fall. If Miami gets anything, any word of anything, we had 2 kids getting discounts on rental cars a couple years ago. They're 2 of our top defenders, and Rick kicked them off the team as soon as he showed up because it's not worth the NCAA investigating. And, people dropping bags, whatever, cars, whatever they want to say, it happens. I don't think the NCAA looks at many schools, but with Miami's past, they probably deserve to be looked at a little tighter.
That's what Dan's doing right now.
He's weeding them out. I think Georgia might be coming down with something. I guess we'll see. I don't really have much of anything else on the teams. I know we spent probably more time on the top 25 than anything else, and we probably won't touch as much on them the next couple weeks. We'll probably go more in depth on our teams. Try to get some more recruits on. This week was TJ Jones. He's uncommitted out of Lake City, so. We'll get that added on once we're done here. And, that's all I got. If you got anything else, I know. We didn't touch a whole lot on our teams, but we just did a rough catch-up from the last few weeks that we missed. And
these next 6 to 7 weeks are real crucial for...
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Especially for both our teams. Just really...
Yeah,
if
either of us lose again, it's over. As far as playoffs, it's over. Then you're just playing for recruiting purposes, really. Obviously, you want the bowl game.
Yeah.
I think if Miami wins, I think we got a shot at keeping a lot of our guys at 4 and 5 stars that normally leave. I think Rick has finally made that jump to keep most of our guys. And, trying to go to poach Jaden Hazelwood out of Georgia. I think we got a legitimate shot.
I think you guys do, too.
So I think we're finally – Miami's finally getting to the point where – Rick is more involved with the community. He grew up in Boca, so he knows the area. He played at Miami, and the first things he started to do when he showed up was to get out to the high schools and the elementary school, stuff like that, to get the young kids get involved with the community. And I think that's already, I would say 2020 is probably the first year where that really pays off. Maybe 21, as far as we're gonna, I think we're gonna get back to where we can keep everybody. Yeah. Obviously, everybody, there's going to be people that go. You can't take every running back, stuff like that. So there's going to be some that go, but it'll be the picking and choosing, I think. If Rick stays, My big worry is Diaz leaving, the defensive coordinator. Our defense is unreal at times with the speed and everything, but it's going to come down to does he want more money? Does he want the power of running the whole team? Or, you know, can Miami pay him enough money to stick around? You know, he's from Miami. His dad's in politics down there. So, you know, maybe he stays. You know, everyone else is talking he's gone after this year. But we'll see. You know, maybe he stays around just for Miami. But I think Ron Dugans, you know, he was a Florida State player. Played for years in the NFL. I think he is a crucial piece. A lot of people looked at us losing Coach Cool to Alabama as a huge loss. But, you know, we lost 4 defensive linemen, and our defensive line this year is better than it was last year under Coach Cool. So I'm happy where we're at. Obviously, you know, I would have liked to have the LSU win, but, you know, given that we can't change wins and losses, I think moving to Cozy was the right choice. I think it needed to be done just because he has a bigger upside. And looking at the future, if we would have kept Malik in the rest of this year, we go into the offseason not knowing what we have. So I think it was the right choice. I like where the program's headed. So we'll see.
Yep. I'm pretty happy where we're at. So,
yeah, that's all we got. We'll get another show done for next week. And I'll work on getting some other recruits or players on. And we'll go from there. So hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And if not, tell us what we did wrong. And maybe we'll fix it. Maybe not. So enjoy the games this week.
Hey, my name is TJ Jones. I play at Columbia. And I play wide receiver.
Okay. Go ahead and start with, you know, just a little bit about yourself as far as your high school career. You don't have to go, you know, freshman year or anything like that, but just, you know, any big games you've been in so far, other top recruits you've gone against or that you've played with, if you do the 7-on-7 circuit, anything like that, go ahead and cover all that if you want to real quick.
I play big games. I play big-time football. I play 7-8, play against guys like Trinity Christian, Robert E. Lee, you know, have an opportunity. We had an opportunity to play against IMG this year. We came out with the victory. So, you know, I've been a part of the big games and the big moments, you know, and a bunch of great teams, Madison, you know, we came out on top of them.
Yeah, I know you just mentioned IMG. What's it like going against I personally don't know a whole lot about Columbia, but, you know, IMG's like it's a professional program in itself. What's it like going in there and going against, you know, a lot of top recruits and coming out with a victory?
It was fun going in there, playing them, and being the underdogs because everybody just knew, you know, that we was going to get blown out. But it was fun going in there, and we made them. We worked them up good, you know, and the hype, you know, I feel like it was overhyped.
Yeah. You're a 4-star recruit. Do you, your wide receiver, do you play any defense, or are you mostly just strictly offense for now?
Yeah, I'm mostly just strictly offense for now.
Okay. Talk a little bit of recruiting. I know you have a few handfuls of offers. Do you plan to sign early? Are you an early enrollee, or are you just doing everything come February?
Yeah, I'm doing everything come February.
Okay. Do you plan to commit early, or are you going to wait till signing day, or are you still undecided on the commitment plan?
I'm still undecided on the commitment plan.
Okay. At the end of the season, do you plan on playing in any of the Senior Bowl games for high school?
Yes. Actually, I'm still waiting on an invite from a bowl game, but, you know, most definitely I want to attend a bowl game.
Okay. As far as Miami, I know you made it down there this last weekend against Florida State and saw that game. Who is the coach that is recruiting you the most from Miami?
Ron Dugans and Chip.
Okay. What's Coach Dugans like?
Coach Dugans is a real guy. You know, he always tell me the truth about the whole
recruitment
process.
Okay. Are there any other schools? Is Miami kind of hitting you hard now? I know they've kind of come on late as far as the, you know, we're seeing TJ Jones pop up and all the headlines for recruiting now. Have they been hitting you for a while, or they just come on recently?
No, they've been hitting me for a while. You know, the offer was recently, though.
Okay.
But they've been on me for a while.
How do you feel about Miami?
I feel good about Miami. You know, it's a good school, and you know, they in one of my, like, in my top 10.
Okay. I know this last weekend was an unofficial visit. I know you just went for the game. What was that game like? Did you like the atmosphere? I know a lot of people give us crap because we don't have we don't play on campus. You know, we play at the Dolphins Stadium. What was that atmosphere like, even though we don't have what some people call a home field advantage? Do you feel like it was a good crowd?
Yeah, it was a great crowd, you know. And it was nice out there. The atmosphere was live, especially when they started coming back.
Yeah. Okay. What are some other schools recruiting you?
Bunch of schools.
What are, like, some of the Tennessee, top schools?
Tennessee, Ole Miss, Nebraska, Louisville,
Texas A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Okay.
USF.
I was looking at your crystal balls, and it was 50% Texas A&M and 50% other. So that's why I didn't know if Texas A&M has made the offer yet.
Yeah.
You get 5 official visits. Have you taken any of those yet?
Yeah, I've taken one. I took one to Texas A&M.
How was that?
It was nice out there. It was different.
Yeah. You're from Lake City, Florida, correct?
Correct.
How's that compared to, like, Miami or some of these other schools? How's it compared to that, the lifestyle?
Oh, the lifestyle is totally different from out here. And you have to work harder out here to be seen and to get out, because we in such a small town, you know, a small country town.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to work harder, but you know, most of the time guys go overlooked out here. So it's like you gotta snap.
Yeah. Do you have your other official visits planned, or are you just still kind of winging it?
I'm still winging it. I haven't got them planned out yet.
Right on. Who's kind of recruiting you the hardest, or is everyone just still kind of equal?
Everybody's still kind of equal.
Okay. Are there any other top recruits that, you know, if you played 7-on-7 with, or that, you know, you're close friends with, or anything like that?
Yeah, I know a few people. I know Jarvis Brownlee.
Okay, yeah, we had him on the show. We had Brownlee on the show about a month ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yeah, who else you got?
Jeremiah Payton.
Okay.
I know Leonard Manuel.
Okay.
I know Keon.
Yeah, I was trying to get a hold of Keon and Lloyd Summerall today, trying to get them on the show.
Yeah, I know Lloyd, too.
Right on. Growing up, what school were you a big fan of, or what's your dream school?
Growing up, to be honest, growing up, I didn't even have a dream school. I just loved football, Florida State, and Miami.
Okay, nice. Kind of jumping back to the Canes, I know you saw Florida State. Started the year off pretty rough against LSU. What do you think of their season so far, and kind of what do you think they're going to do the rest of the year?
You said Florida?
No, Miami.
Oh, Miami? Miami, I think they're still going to do good. You know, they still got a great opportunity to be successful this year.
Yeah.
You know, whenever they turn it on, they can play good football, you know, big-time football.
Yeah. When you do get to college, what are you looking to major in, or have you decided on the education part of it yet?
Yes, I'm looking to major in sports management.
Okay. Did you visit any camps over the summer? I know Miami throws a big Paradise Camp. Did you go to any of the other? Did you go to any college camps this off season?
Yes, I went to Friday Night Lights.
Is that that's Florida, right?
Right.
How do you feel about Florida? I know they're having a bounce back year. You know, last year they weren't all that great, but they got Dan Mullen in, and they're looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, I'm liking Florida also. Looking in them, into them too.
Have you made Have you made it to the Swamp to see a game yet this season?
Yes, I've been to one game this season.
Okay. On your high school season this year, are there any other top recruits you go against? Do you guys go out of state to play any of the other top teams, or are you mostly staying in Florida?
We mostly staying in Florida, but I played against, you know, guys like Fred Davis and Miles Brooks. You know,
okay.
Travis J.
On the end of the year high school all-star game, was there a certain one you wanted to play for, or just kind of see which ones offer?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to play in the U.S. Army All-American game. You know, I always been wanting to be a part of that.
Okay. I know you said you didn't have a favorite college team. Did you have a favorite NFL team growing up?
Nah.
Okay. Sports outside of football, do you play anything else or just football?
Just football.
Okay. What's something about TJ that the fans, you know, they see you as a football superstar. What's a hobby or something you do outside of football that you have a lot of interest in?
You know, I go to church. You know, I build my family.
Okay.
You know, I just hang out. I keep everybody around me happy and, you know, laughing. I'm a humble person.
Yeah, so, guys, stay humble. That's good.
I don't like to be looked differently.
How many more games do you guys have on the season before you start the playoffs on high school?
We have four more.
Four more? What are you guys undefeated right now?
No, we're 5-1.
5-1. Okay. As far as your recruitment, you said you're real close with your family. Are they wanting you to stay home, or are they just kind of leaving it all up to you?
Yeah, whatever best for me.
Okay. That's about all I got, unless you got anything else as far as, you know, you want to talk about football or recruiting or anything outside of football that, you know, the fans might find interesting about you. You got anything there?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, shout out Lake City and Columbia for just molding me into the player that I am. And, you know, just my family. And I just want to thank God for all his blessings. For being able to, you know, talk to you guys like y'all and being able to play and have so much potential.
Okay. Yeah, I want to wish you the best of luck on this the rest of the season. I know you're over halfway over, and then we'll start the playoffs. If you ever want to come back on the show, just hit us up. If you talk to Keon or Jeremiah Payton or any of those guys, if we can get them on the show, that'd be great. We'll get this edited, put into the whole show, and we'll get it out in the next day or two. I'll tag you in it, and if you want to share it, tweet it, tag some people in it. We'll try to get some more people involved, and maybe we'll hit you back up come playoff time.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate you. God bless.
Yes, sir.